Welcome to the show this week with me, Ruth Copland. You're listening on KSCO AM 1080 and KOMY AM 1340. In the second hour today, I'm going to be interviewing celebrated Americana artist Kenny Butterill. Really excited about having him in the studio live today. He's going to be playing some tracks for us, and we're going to be playing some tracks also from his album. So stick around for that. That'll be just after 6 o'clock. And in this hour, I'm fortunate to have Audrey Meyer Copland in the studio with us. We're going to be interviewing her. Before that, I'm going to be playing Lacey J. Dalton's newly released single, Next to Me. And if you listen to KSCO during the week in the afternoon, you may have heard me interview Lacey J. Dalton on What's Left. And she had a new single that was coming out, and fortunately, she's made it available to us, and we're going to be able to play it today. And I'm sure most of you know about Lacey J. Dalton, but if you don't, she is one of the most instantly recognizable voices in music. The woman People magazine called Country's Bonnie Raitt. Her hit singles include Millionaire Play Cuts such as Hard Times, Crazy Blue Eyes, Hillbilly Girl with the Blues, Taking It Easy, Everybody Makes Mistakes, the worldwide hit Black Coffee, and her signature song 16th Avenue. And Lacey loves music with a message and lyrics that bring a new awareness to the listener. And the music she's releasing today stays true to that just as much as when she started. So I'm very pleased to have her single available to play. It's called Next to Me, and here it is.
You won't find him drinking at the table, rolling dice or staying out till 3. You won't ever find him be unfaithful. You'll find him next to me. You won't find him trying to chase the devil for money, fame, or power out of greed. You won't ever find him where the rest go. You'll find him next to me. Next to me. And I can't seem to find no help or love for free. I know that there's no need for me to panic, 'cause I'll find him next to me. When the skies are gray and all the doors are closing, and the rising pressure makes it hard to breathe, hand to stop the tears from falling, I will find him next to me. When we spoiled the land and dried up all the sea, when everyone has lost their heads around us,
you will find him next to me.
Next to me.
Next to me. next to me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. It's a great track. So you can get it, Lacey J. Dalton's new single at cdbaby.com and also on iTunes, I believe. But if you go to cdbaby.com and put in Lacey J. Dalton, you will definitely be able to get that and also her other albums. So this hour, we're fortunate to have with us in the studio Audrey Mer Copland, who has built up a dedicated following over 35 years in the spiritual field. She was fortunate to develop her skills alongside mentors such as Sir George Trevelyan, Frederick Lionel, Lila Beck, Brew Joy, and Barbara Ann Brennan. She's a natural sensitive who works intuitively with color and energy, yet she has always sought to grow and develop her skills through experience and deep study. Consequently, her work is thoroughly grounded in the teachings of the great masters and is also practically tried and tested via the hundreds of individual healing consultations she has given and through her work with groups at conferences and courses. She's very widely traveled and has taught many hundreds of people how to heal and be healed in numerous places, including America, Canada, Newfoundland, Alaska, Germany, Israel, Spain, and Portugal. Audrey has also helped set up healing organizations in Europe and the USA. And she first became aware of the healing power of her voice when she was presenting spiritual development groups where participants were entranced by the energy conveyed as she spoke. And students eagerly suggested that she should record her voice. And she then developed the first of her creative visualizations, which were an instant success. She's continued devising new meditations ever since, and the whole range is now available on CD. And if you have any questions for Audrey about healing, Reiki, meditation, and how to take the time to heal, do call the studio on 831-479-1080. Welcome to the studio, Audrey.
Thank you very much for that wonderful invitation.
You're welcome. And if you're wondering about Audrey and I having the same last name, it is because we are related. She is my mum. So I had to do a little less research about her than I do for my usual guests. Anyway, she's currently over from England visiting, so it seemed an ideal chance to have her on the show to talk about healing, which has been her business for over 30 years. And so I was wondering, can you tell us how you first got interested in healing and creative visualization? What was your kind of first peak experience, perhaps, with this?
Well, with 35 years' experience, I'm very old, aren't I?
I don't know about that. You could have started when you were like 3 or something.
But young at heart. Anyway, yes, that's quite an interesting question because I had to write an article once on spiritual reflections, and I've always believed that a spiritual healer is really just a reflector, and that in order to be a reflector, it's also necessary to become reflective. And that's why I like to make time at the end of each day to reflect back on how I lived it and what I got right or might need to change. It's my time, I suppose, to get to know and understand myself better. But talking about peak experiences, I have to go back really to a period in 1976, really before I became interested in healing. I was with friends on a houseboat on the Colorado River in Arizona in a sweltering heat of 124 degrees. And we would climb down onto sandbanks to cool off in the water, hand-feeding crumbs to shoals of brightly colored orange sunfish swimming all around us. Most of the time, we hardly saw another boat as we ambled along, taking in the craggy mountainous peaks rising up on either side. And I learned that many hundreds of Native American Indians had been resettled and subsequently died in some of the places that we were looking out on, where it was very bleak and hostile. And later, in the welcome coolness of the evening, I painfully reflected upon this situation as I stretched out on my stomach and flat roof of the houseboat. Emotions stirred unexpectedly within me. I became puzzled and a little disturbed by their intensity. It was as if I knew what it had been like to be there, the suffering, anyway, absorbed by these thoughts, I looked out across the river at the gigantic jagged peaks silhouetted against a glorious sky of peach, gold and crimson light, mystically reflected in the mirror like water below. The stillness and the silence was awesome. Then, in what I can only describe as one perfect moment, and in the blink of an eye, I transcended my physical body and became the sky, the setting sun, the mountains, the river, the heron skimming gracefully over tall reeds in the water. I became a part of everything, universally connected. And in my heart, I knew that I'd just touched the hand of God, the Creator, who had touched my very soul. So that was my first peak experience and a gift that I'll always treasure. I often reflect upon it because there is no doubt in my mind that it was a wonderful catalyst for me to take so many other journeys, both on the inner and the outer planes of consciousness. So exploring visualization and meditation is just as exciting as if I was trying to climb Mount Everest or swim the channel. And that experience put me on a path to healing. It also made me realize that as a spiritual healer, I too am just a catalyst for others to begin their own journeys.
Right. That was a very beautifully described experience, which leads me to think that your creativity in your description is probably going to really help you with doing your creative visualizations, because that's an artistic form, in a way, to do that. If you just joined us, we're talking to Audrey Mer Copland, who has over 35 years' experience in creative visualization, healing, and meditation. And we're going to be learning a lot more about that if you stay with us, but we're going to go to a commercial break now, so join us after the break. You're listening to KSCO AM 1080 and KOMY AM 1340.
You won't find him drinking at the table.
Welcome back to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland. And my guest for this hour is Audrey Mer Copland, if you just joined us. And at the top of the hour, after the news at 6, we're going to be talking to Kenny Buttrell, celebrated Americana artist, and he's also going to be playing live for us in the studio. So, we were just hearing about how Audrey started out getting interested in creative visualization and I guess healing from that as well. So can you explain, in case the listeners don't know, what is creative visualization in the form of using it for healing?
Creative visualization is really using nature's imagery, because nature's imagery is very powerful and has a very deep effect on the energy body, our energy body. And it's all there, out in nature. Everywhere you look, there is therapeutic energy, universal life force energy. And there's trees, there's plants, flowers, streams, sunshine, blue skies. So in a way, using nature in imagery takes us straight to the heart center and to the heart of creativity. And I doubt that there isn't a person alive who hasn't actually been in awe of a sunrise or a sunset and been able to visualize all the beautiful colors that such an experience emanates. So, you know, imagine, for instance, the sky streaked with glorious colors of peach and apricot and golden hues. So I found as a spiritual healer that it was necessary to relax a person before actually laying on of hands. And intuitively, I just tuned in to nature. and would give a 5 or 10 minute little relaxation, asking the person to just sit back and close their eyes and just follow what I was imaging for them. And it was amazing how quickly the synchronicity of relaxation occurred between the patient and myself. And after the healing had taken place, they seemed to feel that they'd got more from the actual relaxation journey using natural imagery, taking them on a pleasant walk around a beautiful garden, listening to birds singing, or sitting by a beautiful, calm lake, looking at a blue sky and just pondering where they were in their own consciousness. It took them out of themselves, but it took them into nature, into the therapeutic energy. And there are different levels, obviously, to creative visualization, and each symbol can take you to a different level. If a person's very excitable, very high, very nervous, very tense, then you would just sit them against a beautiful oak tree, looking up at the spreading branches, allowing the beautiful sunshine to just envelop them and make them feel warm and comfortable. And they could look out around them and visualize whatever they felt that they wanted to be there with them. It could be the ocean. It could be a garden. Whatever they felt, you know, was necessary. But creative visualization is very powerful, and it is a great tool to be able to change a person's consciousness from stress to deep relaxation.
Now, I know you've created a series of CDs with recorded creative visualizations, which have music and also a led meditation or visualization that people can follow. So is this something that people then can use, you know, at home if they're ill, people in hospital, that kind of thing?
Yes, one of the things that lots of people asked me was, can you record these journeys that you give us quite intuitively? So, yes, I did. I decided that I would record them. And one of the first ones that I recorded was the temple meditation. And that is actually asking a person to go into the temple of their soul to experience what it's like to actually be in a place of inner peace and inner healing. And before they can actually approach this temple, they're on a beautiful journey looking at the landscape all around them. And as they take 7 steps towards the entrance of the temple, there are 7 things they have to let go, they have to release. And in so doing, they're really preparing themselves for inner healing and an inner experience. So that's one of the tapes, one of the CDs. The other one was when I got involved with teaching Reiki, because I had been teaching spiritual healing for over 20 years. And of course, when you teach spiritual healing, you have to understand all about the consciousness and the different levels and relaxation and meditation and how to be centered and how to keep a person safe and secure during that experience, because they will start to go very deep, and the brain waves change from the ordinary level to a higher level, such as alpha, theta. And in a way, it's like daydreaming or imagining. And so these different tools I applied to a new CD, having taken on the understanding of Reiki. And it's called Reiki Pathway to the Soul, and it's a great self-healing experience. It's a really beautiful journey, and I've had lots of very good feedback about both of the CDs.
And I think both these CDs, the Temple Meditation and Reiki Pathway to the Soul, are available at cdbaby.com if anybody is interested. So just go to cdbaby.com and put in Audrey Murr Copland, which is M-U-R-R and then C-O-P-L-A-N-D. and Audrey, first of all, which probably you know how to spell that, but it's A-U-D-R-E-Y. And Audrey also has a great website, you, the letter U, can heal it. com, if you wanted to check that out. And you mentioned when you were describing that about with the temple meditation about release. Is release part of healing, do you think, then?
It's the greatest part of healing, absolutely. We all have things that we want to release, and one of the things that I had to learn very quickly when I first became a spiritual healer was that when a person comes to you, they're not just coming with a symptom or a complaint. They're bringing their whole life. And therefore, that's what you're working with. So what was the question?
Release. Is release a really important part of healing?
Yes. Really, that's all spiritual healing and Reiki healing is. It's helping a person to release layers of cellular memory. Healing, it takes place at a cellular level.
And as I understand it, spiritual healing and Reiki are pretty much the same, but Reiki is it utilizes symbols. That's come from the East, from Japan, Reiki, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's based completely on symbology, and each symbol can take you to a different level of consciousness. And the greater part of Reiki is the self-healing part, which I was most impressed with, the fact that a person can use their own healing ability, which everyone has at some level or another, to be able to place hands on their own body, particularly around the head, and breathe and relax and have creative thoughts such as inner peace, breathing in love, breathing out peace, breathing in nature in whatever form they feel they want to, and then suddenly their hands become alive. It's almost as if the energy has transcended to a point where they can bring it through their own body consciousness and apply their hands onto different parts that hurt or feel in need of being soothed and comforted. So I found that it was interesting comparing Reiki to spiritual healing, because it depends really on the person, that how developed they are and what level of consciousness they can reach and what levels of attunement that they've developed that actually really then bring through the energy that so you could say that Reiki could be spiritual healing without the symbols, except that in spiritual healing I use symbols such as breathing in love, breathing in peace, breathing in harmony, breathing in joy, and that puts me into an altered state, whereas when I was working with Reiki I would be connecting to the energy of each level of the symbol. And some of the symbols are for the very basic, practical, physical level, where perhaps there is a lot of pain that needs to be released, and then the heart level, and then the higher level, the spiritual level. So the symbols actually do go up in various levels.
So Reiki's become very popular, hasn't it? I mean, it's sort of superseded. I think most people would have heard of Reiki, but perhaps not everybody's heard of spiritual healing. Do you think that's just because it's not got spiritual in the title, that it's more accessible to people like acupuncture and Qigong and things like that? Or
I think possibly, yes, because lots of people say that they're an energy healer and they're using the same energy, universal energy. But I'm proud of the fact that I'm a spiritual healer. And when I started to teach Reiki, I actually called it spiritual Reiki, because I think that the spiritual level, the divine level, the universal level, can't be avoided.
Right. And I think I've heard you say that there can be healing in the form of like a mother soothing her child or something like that, but becoming a healer is sort of a formalization of that process of really learning how to channel that through you in a way that then offers it to the person you're giving it to for their own healing as their body wants to use it. Is that how you would describe it?
Well, because I've been teaching spiritual healing and I've had a lot of wonderful teachers, one has to understand that you can burn yourself out. You're using your nervous system. And if you're forcing something, an electrical field of energy, a higher energy, a divine energy, to be able to bring that through your consciousness without understanding that it is a very high field, you've got to be able to earth yourself, which is done through the feet. You've got to be able to center yourself. But most of all, you've got to use the breath as a transformer. And that's what's so good about creative visualization, because if you can slow the breath and relax through breathing in and out, feeling, you know, that you're breathing in the trees, the sky, the sunshine, a beautiful placid pool, or sitting by the ocean watching the waves, and just using the breath as a transformer, you can suddenly, you know, be totally in another state of being, whereby you are releasing and you are relaxing and you are letting go. So the tools to become a healer are quite immense, and the development is quite profound. Although, as you say, there are levels to healing, and when a mother sees her child fall over and cut her knee or hurt herself, she'll rush forward and start to rub it and say, "Mummy, make you better." And that's one level of healing, and it works. But when you're dealing with sick people, very sick people, you've got to understand that there is a certain amount of responsibility if you're working with someone, say, who's terminal. Can I relate an experience I had with a 14-year-old boy? His mother got in touch and said that he'd just been discharged from the Royal Marsden Hospital, which is a big cancer hospital in the London area, and that he'd only been given 3 weeks to live. He got leukemia, and she was beside herself, and so was her husband. They didn't know what to do. They were Christians, and they weren't sure what kind of healing was available through the organization which I represented. But anyway, they said they were willing to try it, and they brought him along. And there he was, a lovely 14-year-old boy, totally bald, with a little woolly hat on his head. And he was just a joy to work with. He was just such fun. He made fun of his illness, almost, and he looked at his parents and said, "It's a good job it's me with the leukemia and not them." But we started giving him healing, laying on of hands, two of us, my husband and myself. But at the same time, the thing that he said he most enjoyed was being taken out of himself. And we used to walk him through a meadow and open a gate, and he would walk up a lovely soft green hillside, and there was this beautiful oak tree which he liked to rest against and feel the strength and support that the tree provided for him. And then he looked at the sun filtering through the tree, through the leaves of the tree. And it was so special to him that after 3 weeks, he was still very well and still very much here with us. The Royal Marsden offered him platelets and said they'd like him to come in again. And he wasn't very happy to have more interference, but he asked me to record the journey for him, and he put it onto earphones, and whilst he was having all this stuff put into his body, he was away on that hillside, sitting against this beautiful tree, looking out on whatever he wanted to see, and it made all the difference. He didn't have any sickness after chemotherapy, and in the end, he started making up his own visualizations. Mm. And he died after 6 months, but he died happy and joyous and full of light. And his parents said that it was the most transformational experience they'd ever been through. And they thanked us profusely for providing it.
Mm. That's wonderful. I mean, unfortunately, you know, healing's not always in a position to cure, especially when people come very late in an illness, but it obviously can provide huge support and benefits in other ways, and that's a really beautiful example of that. Well, if you just joined us, we're listening, we're talking to Audrey Mer Copland in the studio with us today about healing and creative visualization and how we can also perhaps take the time to heal ourselves. So we're going to be looking at that more. We're going to go into a commercial break now. So do keep it here with us on KSCO AM 1080 and KOMY AM 1340.
When the money's spent and all my friends have vanished, I can't seem to find no help or love for free. I know that there's no need for me to panic, 'cause I'll find him, I'll find him next to me. When the skies are gray and all the drops of tears from falling, I will find him next to me.
Hi, welcome back to It's the Way of Love Live. And the song we're playing in and out to is the new single of Lacey J. Dalton that I played at the top of the hour. That's a great single, so I would recommend you going and getting it for yourselves. It's on cdbaby.com. Lacey J. Dalton, Next to Me. And at 6 o'clock, just after the news, we're going to be talking to Kenny Butterill, celebrated Americana artist, and he's going to be playing live for us in the studio, as well as we're going to be playing some tracks from his albums. So do stay with us for that. We have in the studio with us Audrey Mer Copland. We've been talking about healing, visualization, creative visualization. And just before the break, we were talking about an experience that you had, Audrey, with a young man who was helped with creative visualization. And I'm thinking that you must have other stories. I mean, in your long career, must have been some beautiful experiences that you've had. Would you like to share any more with us?
Well, there was just one very special experience that I had. I was teaching courses in Newfoundland, and I stopped off there on the way to New York. Whilst there, I met this young woman who wasn't very well. And on the way back from New York, I stopped off in Newfoundland again to take more training courses. And I was asked if I could visit this young woman whom I'd met. Her name was Linda. And I said, oh dear, what's wrong? And they said, well, she's in hospital and she's been diagnosed with terminal cancer at the age of 23. She was a single mother, had a 3-year-old daughter, and they asked if I could go along to the hospital. Well, I only had 3 days in Newfoundland after they asked me if I could do anything to help. So I went along, and to my absolute horror, I found Linda lying in a lifeless room, absolutely alone. The room was just totally lifeless and dreary, and the reason why was because the only window that this room had in the hospital, her room, had been blocked up. So it was just a solid piece of cement.
Awful.
And there she was, you know, she got a few vases of flowers, but other than that, she was lying still in this cot, just looking at this concrete window. And I thought to myself, right, somehow we have got to open this window of her mind, this window of her creative ability to be able to look through this window at anything that she wants to perceive. And in an hour, we had opened that window to all kinds of vistas, to the sunset, to the sunrise, to the sky, to trees, to mountains, to lakes. And she was just experiencing wonderful visions of different places that she felt in her own heart that she wanted to share with herself in this dreary room. And I went the next day, and apart from, you know, the fact that she'd been lying very still in this awful room, here she was sitting up with her feet over the side of the bed, and she was so excited. She said that she had just been looking out of this window and visualizing so many different places and having wonderful experiences. And a few days later, she was allowed to go home to be with her family and her little girl. And That's the power of creative visualization, the power of imagination, but also the power of nature and being able to take parts of nature in any form one wants to do and use it beneficially for yourself. So anybody can do this. You can have a walking experience, walking meditation, a walking visualization, taking in all that's around you, being aware of your breath and bringing in it in on the breath in a transformational way so that it connects with your heart, with your mind, with your body, and starts to filter through to every part of your being. And so it's a daily thing, it's a daily process, even if you're driving in the car. Somebody was sharing with me yesterday the fact that they just love the drive that they have to go to work because they're looking at all the different trees changing colour, the leaves on the trees, you know, falling down perhaps, and the different vistas of different gardens and flowers and colours. And, you know, colour is very important too. We should breathe in colour, especially the bright, light, beneficial colours. When people are depressed, they tend to wear lots of black and grey or very, very dark greens if they've been very wounded in the heart with relationships or abuse. So that's a whole new aspect of creative visualization, being able to use colour.
I think also I heard that wearing black can be about drawing in energy or conserving energy too.
Yes, it's a support system. It sort of supports you. That's why in ancient times, and perhaps even now, some people like to wear black when they're when they're going through a bereavement. It kind of pulls you together, holds you up, connects you, and you're self-absorbed then. But if you can, it's very beneficial to break down the black with something brighter, a nice green, for instance. Green is all around us, and we don't realize that green is the master ray of nature. It's full of harmony and balance, and it's extremely good for cancer, because somehow people, when they're very seriously ill, lose the green or lose the heart of nature. And green energy is very beneficial for the energy body because it is very harmonious. And to breathe it in, you know, to breathe in the colour of grass, to breathe in the trees is exceedingly beneficial.
I was just thinking on my Wednesday show this week before Thanksgiving, we were talking about gratitude, and we were talking about how just being grateful for very small things like a beautiful sunset or walking, you know, could be really transformative. And it sounds like in a way this is connected to what you're saying, is that just taking that time to notice these things enables us to open out and actually accept them into us in a way which, when we're busy, perhaps we're not doing so much.
Yeah, I somehow feel that when I come here I'm in the fast lane. Everything seems to be taking off at such a speed, and everybody's so busy and so concentrating on the time and whether they've got time to do this, that or something else in the time. And sometimes, you know, they just close their eyes off to what's out there. If they're in a car or at the computer or texting or on a mobile phone. So we do block ever such a lot from our vision and from our imagination. And when we get blocks in the consciousness, then they're creating stress. And when you get stress, you're getting dis-ease. And when you've got dis-ease and it's not being helped with any form of relaxation or breath work, then you get disease. And so, you know, we can cause a lot of these problems ourselves, but also we can alleviate so much ourselves. We're our own healers. And I once had it explained to me that the fact that I had become interested in healing was because I turned a corner in my own life and was ready to heal myself. And I was very intrigued by that remark. And then the same teacher said to me, you've got to learn to love yourself. And I thought, well, how can one love themselves? That's ridiculous. But then I began to realize that how could you love anything or anyone if you couldn't love yourself, honor yourself, who you were, what you were, and why you were. And so it's been an incredible journey, and I'm going to try to set it all down, because this is so much, really, that I've been blessed with. And I'm hoping in January to sit down in my retirement and get my book started, For the Love of Healing.
Oh, well, that would be great. I encourage you to do that. And if you just joined us, we're talking to Audrey Mayer Copland, who has spent over 35 years in the healing field, teaching healing, Reiki, and creative visualization. And if you want to know more about her, you can go to her website, youcanhealit.com, and that's the letter U, canhealit.com. And if you're interested in her creative visualizations, there are two available, the Temple Meditation and Reiki Pathway to the Soul, on cdbaby.com. And if you just go to Audrey Mayer, M-U-R-R, Copland, or put in Temple Meditation or Reiki Pathway to the Soul, those will come up, and they're also available on iTunes. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, it's so nice to get treatments from other people, and we all like to do that. It's sort of easier to go and see somebody to get a massage or healing or help. But of course, for most of us, that's unrealistic, really, to go too often. So self-healing seems like a great practice. And I think what you were saying about everything being so busy and our lives such that we just get very caught up in all our obligations, whether they be family or work, that you know, we're doing a lot more than we're being. And I think from what you're saying, it sounds like that these kind of practices, the breathing, creative visualization, meditation, are enabling us to take some time to be and find out who we really are, and at that point be able to try and love ourselves, as you're saying.
Oh, absolutely, yes, because most of us don't know why we're here, who we are, or why we are. You know, we just worry about money, whether we've got enough love in our life, and what the kids are doing. I have an exercise here that I can't actually give as an exercise over the air, because obviously I don't want people to go into an altered state while they're driving. But I want to just make you aware of how breathing and exchanging energy in the heart can be very beneficial. To be able to use the breath completely depends on one's ability to concentrate, and for us to be able to concentrate well on each breath. And as we're breathing in and relaxing with each breath, we're going to say to ourselves, this breath is going to make me into what I need to be. And then if you follow that breath, the breath has to enter the lungs and has to have an exchange. And the red blood cells carry the oxygen through the blood so that the whole body breathes. And the breath is actually contained in every single cell of the body. So sense the breath and let each inspiration reach into the deepest, most spiritual level, the I am. And breathe through the heart and expand and develop that feeling of love. If you do this well, and you will actually be breathing out radiance and love. So if you breathe consciously and your body relaxes into the feeling of love, then with each breath, you will become more beautiful. And just imagine now that you're standing in front of yourself. Imagine now that you see another of you standing there, and try to feel what this other you is receiving from you in your out breath. And try to feel that this other you is accepting it all, because it feels that there is a great link between the two of you. Now imagine another human being irritable and angry in front of you, and immediately the quality of your breath will change, and your attitude will probably reflect some kind of revulsion. So be aware that our space around us, to which we are so vulnerable, depends upon what we are, how we are, and largely upon our out-breath, because it's on the out-breath that we let go, that we release stress, that we release unhappiness and disappointment. So just take some time to sit quietly and watch the ebb and flow of your own breath and see it as a body support moving into a force of forceful transcendence within yourself. But each of us has to find a way of breathing in and out love, so that not only will it fill the whole of our body, but it will fill the whole of a room, and wherever we go, we can spread that love to whomever we meet.
Well, that's a lovely note to end on. And I think I've always thought, you know, the Beatles song, All We Need Is Love, is so true.
Absolutely.
Just love for ourselves, for everyone else, for God, for the divine, for the universe, whatever, is our way of conceiving what is around us. So I want to thank you so much for coming in today and sharing your wisdom with
us. Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
And again, I just want to say, if you want to find out any more about Audrey, you can go to her website, the letter U can heal it.com, and you can find her lovely CDs on CD Baby, The Temple Meditation and Reiki Pathway to the Soul. Well, stay with us now. We're going to go to the news in a little while, but after that, we're going to have celebrated Americana artist Kenny Butterill with us. And he's going to be playing live for us, and we're going to be playing some tracks from his album. And we're going to go out to the news with one of his songs, Just a Songwriter. So keep it here. You're listening to KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz and KOMY AM 1340 Watsonville. It's The Way of Love live.
When I started this songwriting journey, didn't know what I'd find. I knew I wanted no showbiz, had an unworn path in mind. When the bright lights beckoned and the big shot said, all aboard a train named Star, I said no thanks, I'll follow my bliss, I'm in this for the art. 'Cause I like being just a songwriter, don't fit the showbiz scene. I don't deal well with the road, I die in the Nashville machine. Yeah, I like being just a songwriter, blending music with the words, working on my own rainbow, trying to be heard. Summer, fall, most of my head.
back to It's the Way of Love Live. That is Balsam Lake from the album No One You Know by Kenny Buttrell, who is my guest this hour. And before 2000, songwriter-producer Kenny Buttrell was a virtual unknown, but the release of Buttrell's debut album, No One You Know, of which that track is from, changed all that and put him on the cutting edge of the progressive music scene. And indeed, Buttrell's brand of radio-friendly, rootsy, folksy, bluesy Americana, alt-country, feel-good music has endeared him to markets all over the world. The release of Buttrell's second album, Just a Songwriter, caused his popularity to soar even higher. Filled with inviting melodies, masterful songwriting, and engaging earthy vocals, the self-produced Just a Songwriter album is Kenny Buttrell personified, compassionate, sensitive, and diverse, yet singular. Not surprisingly, the CD received many accolades, including Best Alt Country Americana CD by True West magazine in its 50th anniversary roundup of the Best of the West. And the CD also spent many weeks in the Americana Top 40 chart and in other leading roots country folk music charts around the world. And Kenny is currently recording his third CD, Troubadour Tales, and we're very happy to have him here live with us in the studio at KSCO. So welcome, Kenny.
Greetings, Ruth. It's great to be here and be with you on this show today.
And you've also got some of your band members here. I think we've got Dave Davis on lead guitar. Hello, Dave.
Hi.
Rick Hornbeck on mandolin. Hello, Rick. And Harpin Johnny in the background. Good to see you. So we've got quite a few people here with us. We're going to be playing some live tracks for you. And I just wanted to ask you, Kenny, you're originally from Canada, although you've been in America a long time. Can you tell us what the difference is between American and Canadian country music?
I think that the difference is not that great when you get to straight ahead country music. I think America led the pack in terms of alternative country, which was a place for certain artists like Johnny Cash and Lucinda Williams and Steve Earle, who had no place in traditional country music, and so this Americana format evolved, and then it's evolved since then in Canada's roots music and such.
Oh, right, interesting. And we're going to have you play a track live, and I want to take advantage of you all being here and make sure we get plenty of music in the show. So you're going to do The Towns You Left Behind first. Now, I know there's a bit of a story behind this. Can you tell us about it?
Towns Van Zandt was a legendary Texas singer-songwriter who passed away back in 1997. And he was beloved in Texas and by many songwriters all over the world. His music was covered by great artists as well. And when he passed, I had the opportunity to sponge in, if you will, all of his music at one time. And out of that came this song called The Towns You Left Behind. Over the next 15 years, they had annual wakes down in Galveston, Texas for Towns. And this past year, they had the 15th annual and final wake for Towns. And the person who put those on suggested I come down there and play this song. So we did, and it was fun, and here we are.
Great. Okay, well, hopefully all the levels and everything are going to be good, but bear with us if we have to do a little bit of modification as we start. But this is Kenny Buttrell with The Towns You Left Behind.
He died, they say, on New Year's Day. The year was 97. His name was Towns, till then he'd won the crown. Best songwriter this side of heaven. A life of soul searching, pain and hurt, filled with danger and surprise. He led us inside the stormy ride, with no pity or alibis.
You know he wouldn't want us to make a fuss. I probably wouldn't mind if we kept it in mind. There's no prettier sight than looking back at the town you left behind. Play all night long for the sake of the song. He took us to his darkest places, the tales of gloom. He could fill the room. You could see the spellbound faces. Since he's been gone, no more songs. Now it's us that have the blues. From the dirt and the dust, he could hear us. He'd hear us say, we love you. You know he wouldn't want us to make a fuss. Probably wouldn't mind if we kept in mind. There's no prettier sight looking back at the town you left behind.
There's more applause that could happen than just me, but that was great. That sounded wonderful.
Thank you very much.
What a lovely song. It's so atmospheric, and yeah, that was great. I really like that. Your first CD was called Just a Songwriter. No, your second CD. First you were No One You Know, then you were Just a Songwriter.
Still No One You Know, but
get that right. So you're now going into Troubadour Tales with your third CD. So perhaps you could tell us something about the progression of those album titles.
No One You Know was the first CD, and I was just a songwriter at the time, and pitching songs, and some good things happened to us, and so we took when that happened, we took 12 demos and mastered them and made that into a CD called No One You Know. And some good things happened to that CD. So we decided to go into the studio and make a real record. And the result of that was a CD called Just a Songwriter. And we made that here locally with a few remote tracks. And that did very well for us. It charted in the Americana charts and other roots charts and played well for us globally. And then I took some time off and went away from music. And this year I decided to get back into it. And so we've been up at a studio, Highland Studio, since late July, making a record. I actually went up to my cottage and played a track called Balsam Lake. In May I went up to Balsam Lake and wrote all the songs for Troubadour Tales. And then we started in the studio late July with Visions of Optimism. We thought we might be done by December, but I think it's probably March. And the title, as you say, is Troubadour Tales. We've got some great guests on it. The people here are on this, and we have Red Volkert, who was Merle Haggard's guitar player. We have Cindy Cashdollar, who's played with Bob Dylan and Van Morrison. We have Sarah Elizabeth Campbell, a great vocalist out of Austin. We have Rob Ikes, probably the best dobro player in the world. We have David Greer, probably the best acoustic guitar player in the world. We have my friend Washboard Hank from Canada on this. We have John Lee Sanders, who's played with Paul Williams and Barbra Streisand, has just sent his tracks in from Vancouver, B.C. So we track in five different locations, Nashville, Austin, Vancouver, Ontario, Canada, and Santa Cruz. So it's been a fairly big undertaking to do this time.
Wow. Yeah, really, really sounds like it. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break now, but do stay with us. We're in the studio with Kenny Buttrell and some members of his band, hearing some tracks played live, and we're going to be talking to him more after the break, hearing more music, so keep it here on KSCO AM 1080 and KOMY AM 1340. Welcome back to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copeland, and my guest of this hour, Kenny Buttrell, who's in the studio playing live for us. We've been listening to tracks and just having a general good old time, so I'm glad that you can join us. So, well, I think we're going to play next live, I say we, because I'm not actually doing anything except all the levels. I am trying to do a good job with that. Canadian Road Trip. Now, I think you just were in Canada, Kenny, is that right? So can you tell us a bit about what you were doing up there?
Yes, a couple of months ago we all went up to British Columbia and we did a mini tour up there and had some fun up there. And then last month Neil Young, his hometown is near my cottage at Balsam Lake, and they have an annual benefit concert for the museum, so we were up there and played at that. So we did some Canadian road tripping, so it seems appropriate to...
Cool. And just before we play that, I do want to let listeners know, if you want to get more information about Kenny's work and music, you can go to his website, which is noblesongs.com. And that isn't noble as in N-O-B-L-E. It's actually noble songs. So N-O-B-U-L-L songs.com. You can also find his work on cdbaby.com. And I want to let you know that locally, his last gig of the year that he's going to be doing is on Wednesday, December the 4th at our very own Ugly Mug, a little intimate gig there. Should be great to go along to if you can make it. 7:30, 4th of December, Kenny Buttrell. Great. So now we're going to do the Canadian road trip. Let's go for it.
Trip started out in BC, taking us where we wanna be. Coast to coast, one more time. Ramming again and feeling fine. Ramming again and feeling fine. East Coast bound, living it right. Chilling a bit, taking in the sights. Stopping for shows at the roadhouse bars. Then back on the road, we're traveling far. Oh yeah, we're traveling far. halfway through, taking a break. Hanging with friends out at the lake. In town juke joints always hopping. Neon sign says the moose are rocking. Oh yeah, the moose are rocking. End of the road trip, heading back home. Sure felt good to feel free to roam. Hope you like what you did here. Thanks for the comfort and the beers. For the comfort and the beers.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Oh, that was great. I want to be dancing here if I didn't have to be here on the desk.
That's good.
Feel free to dance.
We like that.
I suppose I could, actually. Well, I can't because I'm trying to ride the levels and hopefully create a good mix here. So a bit hard to do that and dance at the same time. But that's rocking. It's really, really sounding great live. And oh, gosh, I'm just so into the music now. I'm all discombobulated. You have fans, I know, all over America and Europe. And so far, you know, with the whole Justice Songwriter thing, you know, the touring has not been your priority. But is there any chance that fans are going to see a bit more of you now?
Well, we did this thing at the Town's Wake at the beginning of the year, and it went well. So I kind of tiptoed along, and this year we've ended up doing 9 or 10 shows, and they've gone pretty well. We've played in Canada and California, and right now we're talking with different people about an April through September run on the road in Texas, California, Canada, including Ontario and BC, and in Europe, but we haven't set dates for that yet. I'm not going to do that until I know for sure what the release date is of the CD. But that's the time frame when we're going to hit the road and do it, support the Troubadour Tales CD.
So I know that you are interested in spiritual things, for want of a better word. You've described yourself as a serious student of the universe. And I'm just wondering, in that context, how would you put your journey of going from being just a songwriter to now being more out in the world and performing live?
Well, sometimes the universe will give you a challenge. You and I spoke at one point about Joseph Campbell and Alan Watts and their view on these types of matters. Joseph Campbell did a thing about a thing called the hero's journey, and if you accept the call, then some good things happen, and certainly since I decided to do this, some good things happened this year. So from that standpoint, I would say the Joseph Campbell metaphor is relevant to my circumstance.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it. Well, I'm really happy to see you out performing live, and I think it's certainly been an experience you've enjoyed, right?
Yes, not so much at the beginning,
yeah,
but now
exactly.
I am.
Yeah, yeah, you've come to learn to enjoy it.
Yes.
I think it's a
It makes it, when I, these people are playing with me, they make it all work. You know, you can really rely on them, and they're just great musicians. So you don't have to worry as much as if you were a solo player.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. That does make all the difference, indeed. So let's hear some more live stuff. That would be great. And I think the next one you're going to do is the email song. Do you want to tell us how that came about, or do you want to play it first?
Well, let's just say in this modern world of the internet, sometimes we hear from people in our past, and sometimes it's a good thing, and that you never thought you'd hear from again. And we've all had been in front of a computer and heard the sign, you got mail.
Right.
And so some people that we've known in our past appear on your computer screen out of the blue, and it's, sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. But that's what the thought was behind the email song.
Okay, cool. Well, let's go to that now.
Got your email yesterday. So you and Mr. Wright have parted ways. Glad to know you'll be just fine. Your kind words took me back in time. Got your news, did some thinking. Read your old letters line by line. While gazing at your faded photo, your long ago words took me back in time. To a time when you said you loved me. I remember how that makes me feel. 20 years ago, that's a long time. Right now it seems so surreal. What's your new life gonna look like? Is there a picture where you are mine? One where you and I are one. Deep in love till the end of time. A time when I'll hear you say you love me. I remember how that makes me feel. 20 years later and here we are, babe. Maybe this time is for real. Maybe this time is for real.
Great, really, really great. I think you should clap as well. Let me do it. Yeah. I'm sorry, what is your name?
Andrea
is in the background here. She's one of Kenny's team, and she's doing a great job photographing and videoing the performance, and it's certainly a good atmosphere in here. It's a shame we don't have a visual, but hopefully the listeners are getting it over the airwaves. So I wanted to ask you, Kenny, that you've always had a big role in producing your albums, as well as writing the songs. I'm just wondering, you know, why you want to be involved in that and what you feel it gives you being able to produce your own stuff.
Producing your own stuff is a kind of a luxury. When you're younger and you might be at the beckon of others to tell you what it should sound like, and when you're older, you can decide what you want it to sound like yourself. And at the end of the day, 10, 15, 20 years from now, it's probably you that's going to be listening to it the most. So, I have a specific way of how I like things to sound. It's kind of like the freight train comes in, the freight train comes out. There's no rough edges. The vocals are loud enough to be to hear them, but not intrusive. So it's kind of comfortable, easy chair music sound I go for. And I've had the good fortune of having two good studios to work with for the first two CDs and this third CD, and I'm generally pleased with how that work has turned out.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's sounding really good. I've got both your albums and I really like them. So good job. And you've been referred to as the acoustic Dire Straits. Is that something that you like, don't like, you know, accept?
Certainly being referenced to anyone like that is a wonderful thing. And Dire Straits actually patterned themselves after one of our heroes who passed away recently, a guy named, a great man named J.J. Cale. Mm. So there's a fluidity of the sound in there. And Dire Straits and Knopfler, Mark Knopfler, they took it to a whole new level. Knopfler's more of a rock and roll pop guy. Cale's more of a bluesy rock and roll guy, and I'm more of a country folk bluesy guy. There's nuance of difference. Certainly my biggest influence on anything I've ever done musically has been J.J. Cale.
Right. Great. Okay, we're going to play a song now from just a songwriter. We're going to play Is There More? And we'll play out to the commercials with that. But do join us after that. I'm in the studio with Kenny Buttrell and some members of his band playing live. And if you want to find out more information about Kenny, you can go to his website, nobullsongs.com, NOBULLsongs.com. And you can find his work at cdbaby.com. And if you're local, you can get to see him play his last gig of the year, an intimate gig at our very own Ugly Mug in SoCal, December 4th at 7:30. Okay, and so this is There More from Just a Songwriter by Kenny Buttrell.
tires, the motor spills when we die.
Listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copeland, and my guest of this hour, Kenny Buttrell, celebrated Americana artist. He's in the studio with us playing live. We're playing tracks. We're talking to him. He's here with some of his musicians, Dave Davis on lead guitar, Rick Hornbeck on mandolin, and Harpin Johnny in the background doing a great job on harmonica. I just adore harmonica. So it's a treat for me to be hearing so much. So we were just listening there to Is There More from Kenny's album Just a Songwriter, and I was asking you earlier about your sort of spiritual dimension, and you were saying that that's kind of one of your spiritual songs. Is there more to everything, I guess, more to life, more to
yes, asking the questions that we all ask at various times in our life, and as a student of Alan Watts and Joseph Campbell, that might be some of the questions that they would suggest that we ask ourselves.
Yeah.
And so it's not a religious song. It was a spiritual type song. And I thought of those two guys when I was writing it. It did very well for us when it was released back then.
Yeah. And when you're writing, is there anything that you're consciously trying to convey to people, or are you just sharing experiences? Is there anything you want people to get out of your music, or are you just offering it out and up?
Well, I think it's like a 3-minute vacation. I don't like to do any preaching. I just want people to enjoy it, and if it's comfortable to drive along with, or listen to, or sing along with, that's what we do.
Right. Okay. Chillin' music.
Chillaxin'.
Okay. Well, we all need plenty of that. We were just talking in the first hour about that, about how we just, life is so busy, 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 and we just don't take time really to smell the roses much. So listening to your music would be a good time to do that, I think. So next, I think you're going to do a cover by John Prine, Everything is Cool.
Yes.
Is that right? And do you want to tell me a bit about it, why you decided to do this cover now?
Well, John Prine is a favorite artist of many of us around this neck of the woods and around the world, actually. And several years ago, at a music festival here in Santa Cruz called the Fat Fry, I was deemed the responsible adult to haul him around and get him to the airport in time to go back to L.A. to record his CD at the time called Jesus the Missing Years. So as we were driving along, I suggested to him, I said, you know, this Greatest Hits album is really wonderful, but there's a song of yours I really like that isn't on there. And he said, well, it's interesting you say that, and politics of record companies and things didn't happen, made that not happen. And this was October of that year. And he reaches down in front of him and he said, but you know, it's never too early for Christmas. And he reaches out and he has his unreleased Christmas CD, and the first track on it is Everything is Cool. And so he ended up telling me it's one of his favorite songs that he wrote. Not too many people know that.
Right. Oh, that's cool. All right, well, we're going to hear now Kenny Buttrell doing Everything is Cool.
Everything is cool, everything's okay. But just before last Christmas, my baby went away, across the sea to an island, while the bridge is badly burned, so far away from my highland, the valley of the unconcerned. I was walking down the road, man, looking at my shoes. God sent me an angel to chase away these blues. Saw 100,000 blackbirds flying through the sky. They seemed to form a teardrop from a black-haired angel's eye. A tear fell down around me and washed my sins away. Now everything is cool, everything's okay. Before last Christmas, my baby went away. I find it real surprising myself to hear me say that everything is cool, everything's okay.
Oh, that was lovely. That is Christmassy, isn't it? It definitely has that kind of feel. I'm ready for Christmas. I really like Christmas, and I like the good social, wonderful parts of Christmas, not all the commercialization, you know. But Christmas is a nice time, I think, and that track definitely heading me in that direction. So we have Kenny Butterill in the studio with us. I just want to remind you once again, if you want to see him locally, you can see him at the Ugly Mug on December the 4th at 7:30. And he's got two great albums, No One You Know and Just a Songwriter, that are both available on cdbaby.com, and I'm assuming on iTunes too and everywhere else. And then your new album, which you're not sure exactly when it's going to come out, but is Troubadour Tales, is that right?
That's the name of the title. It'll come out in April.
Being recorded in five different places.
It has been, yes.
Yes. And you're going to, we've got a bit of a treat for the listeners, because you're going to actually play a song from that upcoming album, right?
We shall.
Called True North. And can you tell me about how that came to be written? What inspired you?
Well, I spent a lot of time going back and forth between Santa Cruz, California, and my cottage north of Toronto at Balsam Lake. And so it's about that and being up at my cottage and missing your significant other, and that's how it goes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is True North, Kenny Butterill, and musicians Dave Davis, Rick Hornbeck, and Harpin Johnny.
Thank you.
heading up to the great white north. Balsam Lake is my course. Got a little piece of heaven there. Living life without a care. North, waiting for Godiva on her horse. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, especially when I'm longing for her. Don't you know I miss her so? At my great white north abode, can't wait to have her in my arms again. She's my true north till the end. Heading out of the great white north. It's a life of back and forth. But California's still home, you see. Got a good woman waiting there for me. Don't you know I miss her so? At my great white north abode. Can't wait to have her in my arms again. She's my true north to the end. She's my true north to the end.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much, Kenny, for coming in today, and thank you to all of you. It was really, really great to have you here, and I wish you all the best for your new album. I'm looking forward to hearing it, Troubadour Tales, and I'm really going to try and make the Ugly Mug on December the 4th, 7:30 for listeners. If you want to head down there, you can hear Kenny play live, his last gig of the year. And just another reminder is past albums, No One You Know, and Just a Songwriter. So thanks so much, Kenny.
Thank you so much, Ruth, for having us here, and it's been a real treat to do this.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all of you. So we're going to play out with a track from Kenny's album. You've been listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland, MC. We'll be back next week. You're on KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz and KOMY AM 1340 Watsonville. And here is my Austin Angel from Just a Songwriter by Kenny Butterall.
Fly, femme fatale with no ties to bind. She made me laugh, wanna flirt, knew what to say to make it work.
Traffic and weather, AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.